Roy Dunwall's jaw dropped, and Lassiter glanced at him. He leaned closer to her. "I just thought if there's anything in what I've told you that..." He hesitated. "That reminds you of something about your sister or nephew." "My sister and her son were murdered in their sleep by a lunatic. He could have been your lunatic, but what difference would that make?" She stood up. "Now, if you don't mind..." She glanced at her watch. "I have an appointment." She shooed them toward the door, and then the door slammed shut. Matilda Henderson's best friend, Kara Baker, lived in South London. Roy's car phone rang just as they got there. He cursed it. "Bloody nag is what it is." Then he picked it up, listened for a while, and in a resigned voice said, "Oh, bugger all. All right, then, call me there in an hour." One of Roy's employees, hard on a case in Leeds, had run into a problem with the local police. He'd have to drop Lassiter off. Kara Baker's place was a substantial brick house with old boxwood hedges running the length of the boundaries. The woman who answered the door couldn't have been less like Honor Henderson. Kara Baker was somewhere in her late 30s and deeply, elementally beautiful. She padded ahead of him in stockinged feet toward the kitchen. Lassiter followed her into the kitchen, a huge old room with a row of French doors along one wall. He sat at an old farm table while she made coffee.
"You've been to see Honor?" Kara Baker said.
She wasn't helpful.
"Poor Annie," she said with a sigh. "Matilda was the only person in the world she cared about. And Martin."
Abruptly, she broke off, and her eyes filled with tears. She snuffled and rubbed at her eyes.
"I'm sorry. I still do miss Till so much."
And then she began to lose control and really weep. She put her hand over her face, stood up, and hurried from the room.
"Excuse me. Sorry, I'll be back."
Lassiter cleared away the coffee cups, rinsed them, and set them in the drainer. He went toward the refrigerator to put the carton of cream away. The refrigerator surface was entirely covered, two or three levels deep, with papers. The door stuck when he pulled on it, and somehow he knocked against a magnet, and a clump of papers fell to the floor. He picked them up and began trying to get them to stick on the refrigerator door, anywhere, when he saw the postcard. He stared at it, rooted to the floor. He'd received the same postcard from Kathy years before. The photo was a monocular blow-up, depicting the pretty little hotel that had commissioned the card. "Pensione Aquila," it read. When Kara Baker came back through the kitchen, he was reading the back of the postcard from her refrigerator. "Dear Kay, beautiful here and so peaceful. Fields and fields of sunflowers, heavy heads droopy. Keep your fingers crossed. Love, Tills."
"Ah!"
Kara Baker started, and then closed her mouth in an awed expression, as if she couldn't believe his bad manners.
"I'm sorry," he said. "I know, I'm reading your mail. I was putting away the cream, and I knocked some papers off, and this postcard."
She took the postcard from him, read the back, and then flipped it over.
"This is the town where the clinic was. Batils got pregnant with Martin. That's why I saved it. Monte Castello di Pelia."
"My sister sent me the same postcard. It's where my sister became pregnant. After years of trying, that's where it happened."
"Just like Till's."
She swallowed.
"The Clinica Baresi."
Her eyes widened, and she cocked her head.
"And you think... what? I can't imagine."
He shook his head.
"I don't know what I think. But it's strange, isn't it?"
He thanked her for the coffee and the help, and then he stood up to go. It was almost 3:30 the next day by the time Lassiter drove through the medieval gates of Todi, a lovely and prosperous town perched on a steep hill above the Umbrian plain. He drove a few miles farther until he passed a tree plantation. It was strange to see trees like that, planted as a crop, in tidy lines. Beyond the trees was a fork in the road. Lassiter pulled to the side of the road and consulted his map. To the right was Monte Castello, a walled village clinging to a dome of rock 800 or 900 feet above the valley floor. He drove on past Monte Castello towards the Clinica Baresi.
When he saw the building, it was like a blow to his heart. Insofar as it was possible for a building made of stone to burn, the Clinica Baresi had burned to the ground. He stepped out of the car and gaped. The sight of the burned clinic reminded him of that first terrible morning, his arrival at Kathy's house. When he arrived at the Pensione Aquila, he was surprised. Pensiones were usually modest places, but the Aquila was an elegant building, clearly once some kind of small palace. Behind a huge wooden desk, nothing on it but a round metal postcard rack and a leather-bound ledger, sat a handsome man of about 50.
"Prego?"
the man asked. Lassiter approached the desk. "Joe Lassiter," he said.
"Oh, yes. Welcome to the Aquila," he said in a British accent. "I'll take you to your room. Will you take dinner tonight? To be honest, unless you're inclined to drive to Todi or Perugia, you probably won't do better. We serve at 8.
"Sounds good." By the time they were done with their gnocchi, Lassiter knew quite a bit about Nigel Burlingame, the handsome man who'd registered him, and his companion, Hugh Cockayne. As Lassiter discovered, they were two gay Oxford lads who'd come to Italy in the 60s to paint. Lassiter sipped a small glass of Fernet and began to explain about Kathy and Brandon and why he'd come to their pensione. Nigel, dumbfounded, looked from one to the other, then rolled his eyes toward the ceiling.
"What on earth?"
"I was hoping there might be something at the clinic that, I don't know, would somehow make sense of things," Lassiter said. Hugh looked at Nigel.
"You should talk to the priest. I don't think they were friends, exactly.
But they played chess, didn't they? In the square," Nigel said. "Shared a glass, that sort of thing?"
Hugh nodded.
"Offhand, I'd say Azzetti's just the man. And he speaks English. Rather well, actually."
"I'll look him up in the morning," Lassiter said. "Where can I find him?"
"In the church, in the square. I can give you directions," Nigel said. "Or you might just wander around and get lost. Eventually you'll end up in the square. It's unavoidable, really."
The three of them got to their feet in unison, and Hugh said he'd finish clearing up. Nigel said, "There's something I want to show you." Opening a leather-bound book that lay on the desk, he turned through a number of pages, stopped, and looked up. "This is our guest ledger. All of our guests are in here. Name and address, telephone number, dates of the visit. Here," he said, turning to a page in the first half of the book. "Have a look."